Welcome to CT Expert Insights. When your business needs expert advice on compliance issues, you can count on us. We provide tips, tools, and strategies to help you at every stage of your business's life cycle.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Our guest this week is Ian Bone. He is the Senior Manager of Strategy and Innovation at CT Corporation. Our topic today, the value of a special purpose entity or vehicle for your structured financial deal. And Ian, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the very basics. What is a special purpose entity or vehicle?
So yeah, so one of the things right away to get out there is that if you hear about SPE or SPV, SPE being a special purpose entity or SPV being a special purpose vehicle, more or less the same thing, kind of the difference between Argentine and Argentinian, right? It means the same thing, but a slightly different way of saying it. Basically, they are unique entities or means of holding onto an asset kind of in a separate place from the rest of your business or any other legal entity structure that you might have. It's like an island for something special.
What is a typical SPE or SPV structure?
So generally you'll see, versus if you have a corporation that you're setting up, which will have very complex structures of ownership and things like that, the SPV will be separate to the side. It may be part of a holding company or some other broader organization that it ties into. But it's something that's tethered alongside and sitting kind of by itself. So it's not necessarily something where you have a lot of different things pooled together, but it's an individual entity that is linked to some other area, but in a way that it's able to kind of maintain its own existence separate from whatever it's owned by.
Ian, what would be an obvious or even a likely situation that you would want an SPE or an SPV?
So SPVs are used all the time for real estate transactions, but really any kind of large lending situation, you might want to have something like this. Anything where you want to kind of set aside liability and risk into itself, you see this with securitization of loans, things where you want to be transferring a specific asset. So if you're looking at just selling one building, say you own a big office complex, right, and there's four different buildings and you just want to sell one of them, they might have been owned altogether previously or through some other kind of structure previously. You'll have a special entity that one thing you're selling will get put into to transfer that asset out of your holdings. You could do it for specific regulatory reasons around, you know, if you have some financial elements, like regulations recently around banks and things like that have been heightened, so you may not want to have all of your business considered to be a bank or something like that, or something that has a higher regulatory hurdle, so you may put those assets and operations into this special purpose vehicle. But really, the main place that we see it is around property and large lending scenarios, usually of some kind of real property. Now, mind you, real property can be a lot of different things to the IRS, but I've heard all kinds of great things about how trees themselves are property separate from the land that they're on, so you may have two separate SPVs for timberland, one about the land and one for the trees, but different kinds of real property and machinery and things like that are definitely places where you'll see these special purpose vehicles used.
Ian, there might be some folks listening to us talk here and thinking there's so many different aspects to an agreement that I need to focus on. So why should you do this to complete a deal?
So really, I am not a lawyer. So I'm just going to say this is not any kind of legal advice. throw that out there right away. So definitely talk to your lawyer or your tax professional about this to really understand when to use it. They know that 100% better for your scenario. But whenever you're looking at kind of how to put a fence around something or to protect something or to protect yourself from something that maybe is really risky, So in terms of a business scenario, if you would be putting on gloves before touching that kind of business or those operations, that's what the SPV helps you do. You can think of them as being your safety gloves to make sure that it any kind of risks associated with that business don't leak into the rest of what you do. Or alternatively, if everything else that you do is perhaps riskier or more volatile, that you might want to protect something like your intellectual property inside this special purpose vehicle so that it doesn't get harmed or even taxed sometimes the same way as everything else that you do.
All right, let's get into the nuts and bolts now. Let's talk about the features and benefits of an SPE or an SPV. Let's talk about the good parts first.
Well, the good part is how much it protects you, right? So if, say you have a special purpose vehicle for a specific property that you own, separate from all of the other elements to your business, say it's a factory, and somebody, God forbid, gets hurt or wants to sue you for whatever reason about something that happened on premise of that, maybe it's not even a work-related accident, but just something happened there. They broke in and tripped and fell, and now they want to sue you. Well, they can sue you for the value of that asset because that's what they were in, but they can't go after your entire business, or it'd be more difficult. I won't say they can't. Lawyers always find ways to do things. But it helps insulate some of the things there. Also, we've seen this, and you know, this may be a bit of the bad guy scenario as well on the reputation side, which we'll get to a little bit later. But you know, people hear all about how like Apple or Google or things like that have all of their intellectual property sitting in some offshore jurisdiction that they get taxed lower in. You know, whether or not that is something they should be able to do, it's something that they can do and legally is allowed, and they're taking advantage of these SPVs and these structures to take something like their intellectual property that's used globally and put it into a location with different regulations, different laws, different taxes, so that then all of the money that they make by licensing out their intellectual property to their own other businesses or to other outside businesses is held in a jurisdiction that's more financially beneficial. So there's a lot of like financial structuring that can be done and financial engineering to make sure that you're reaching the best return on all of your investments with these.
Well, those are the upsides. So let's talk now about the downsides. What are the big risks potentially involved with SPEs and SPVs?
So the biggest one is the reputational risk that I mentioned, right? So you the last thing you want is to be front page of the Wall Street Journal about how you're taking advantage of this weird thing that people don't understand. And I think that's one of the biggest issues here is that a lot of times people don't understand it. It seems like it's this, obviously it's a special thing, right? It's a special purpose vehicle. But it seems weird and like something that not everyone is using and that they don't understand. And so there's always the possibility that, you know, you're doing something that may seem less than above board, even if it's totally fine. And so the reputational risk of that is sometimes different. A lot of things that you'll read when you look at this are that that there are ways of people hiding things, hiding ownership, and in some cases that's exactly what people are doing. But you know, sometimes people hide things for the right reasons. Like if you're Jennifer Lopez and you're buying an apartment in New York, you're probably going to get a different price as Jennifer Lopez than as, you know, 123 LLC, a special purpose vehicle for buying her apartment. And so, you know, wealth managers and things like that will use these things to make sure that you're not kind of being taken advantage of because people think that you have extra money or that people find out where you live because you bought something or things like that. But because it gets used to legitimately help people hide sometimes, it can also be a point where people are a little bit wary about it, that it is thought of as being a way of hiding assets or putting assets aside. And it's an area where, you know, we could see more scrutiny in the future, especially as people look into more stringency around money laundering and potential kind of ways that terrorists move money around. And that's something that in the past couple of years has gotten... obviously, the U.S. government's been doing a great job of tracking a lot of that and freezing improperly moved assets. But it is something that you put yourself in kind of a position where you have to make sure that you're doing everything for the right reasons, and you can explain why you did it. Otherwise, it could look bad. It's a it's an optical problem more than a physical problem usually.
Last question for you, Ian. Obviously, going into this situation, you want to be assured that you've thought of everything, and in most cases, you probably are convinced of that. But what's a good way to make sure that you actually have thought of everything before you enter into this?
I would say talk to the professionals in your business life that you have around you. Make sure that they're actually knowledgeable about that specific item. So it could be going to your attorney or to your tax advisor, but sometimes just a general CPA or a general business attorney may not have the experience. You may want to talk to somebody that regularly sets these up, whether it's a real estate attorney, if it's about a property, instead of just your regular business counsel, trust and estates lawyer. They do a lot of these kind of things. If it's for something personal, instead of wealth planners, things like that. But really going to experts that know what they're doing and understanding what other kind of things come with it. Because there are a lot of additional steps that sometimes you have to involve, whether it's appointing independent directors, having other kinds of oversight, and legal steps that you need to do to both protect yourself and the financial counterparties in these kind of SPVs.
Well, Ian, I know when it comes to small business owners and business owners of all sizes, that more protection is usually a good thing, but it's also smart to know what you're doing before you head into that. Thanks very much for your great advice to us this week.
Always happy to help.
Ian Bone, Senior Manager of Strategy and Innovation at CT Corporation. I'm Greg Corumbus, and for more information on this topic, please call CT at 844-787-7782.
With 125 years of experience, CT is here to help you at every stage of the business life cycle.